So I go outside yesterday, right? And while I'm out there, there is two mail trucks in the road. And
How'd you know they were male?
MAIL. And they're clearly broken down. But the weird part is there's a van, like a post office van, in my driveway. I'm like, that's weird, but that's not what I'm out here about. I'm going to check the mail. No, I'm sorry. I had to get the trash can in from the road that was right beside the mail van. So I start walking out there. And I'm
Brother,
like,
get it together.
I'm not worried about this mail van, right? So I walk out, grab the trash, and I say, huh, y'all had a breakdown, eh? Just not thinking anything of it. Making conversation. And this lady said, brother, let me tell you, this is every day government vehicles. Am I right? And I just went, yeah. I grab my trash can, I go in. But that made me think about it. This lady's whole job is just riding around, like swapping out mail trucks. And there was also a tow truck out there.
Every day.
That's all she does all day, is she just goes out to broken down mail trucks and says, like, get into this truck now. Let me fill out this paperwork for you. And here comes the tow truck.
You know, Aaron, you say that, and at first I was like, that's crazy, and that's probably pretty rare. Just last weekend, on a Saturday, there were two mail trucks in my cul-de-sac moving mail bags between each other because one of them had broken down.
It's got to be, it's like a whole employee per, like area that
But
does
I
that.
was like, man, that's pretty rare. But now you just clarified it's not rare at all.
Not rare at all. So that's
I've
not
seen
really
it too.
funny, but that's the story I told. So welcome to Hi Dads, a
Are we
podcast about mail trucks.
starting now?
Oh yeah, definitely keep the
Think
mail
that was
story.
the opening. Hi, Dad.
Hope we didn't lose any new listeners.
Buddy,
Definitely
I
not.
gotta say, you lost me there for a little bit.
No, everyone's enthralled about mail trucks. Guys, this is Cade and Sean and Aaron, and we are Hi, Dads. We're just three guys, dads, and we like to talk about cocktails, where they're from, what they're made of, do some riffs on them. This is a podcast we do. So we're just from different places. We're not professionals in cocktails.
Speaking of different places, we met up recently,
Oh, yeah.
and we had we I think we promised on our last podcast that we would have like
We
this
had grand
really cool we're
plans.
like we're on this really cool podcast. We're all getting together and we're gonna record together and do a great podcast
In person.
in person. And I think what we learned is that we can't accomplish anything when we get together like in person.
No.
We devolve quickly.
We ate breakfast and had morning cocktails, and then
No time for podcasts after morning
we had
cocktails.
mid-morning cocktails, and then we went to the beach, and then we went to the casino, then we had lunch cocktails, and I think we just watched Netflix for like 6 hours.
Not Buddy, there's
we.
no telling. We played some cornhole. We played some
Who does
cornhole.
cornholes?
Bocce
Yeah. Oh, we
Oh, beach
had
bocce.
an awesome dinner.
Oh boy, that was great.
All right, so in Biloxi, if you're ever in Biloxi, you have to go eat at White Pillars. It was delicious. And Cade, you learned a new trick there.
I learned a new trick. We had this incredible waiter named Jeff. He was really amped up in a great way, but he took our order, our drink order, and he said, "Do you want me to go ahead and put another one on the line?" And I said, "Jeff, what are you talking about?" He said, "I'm going to watch you. And I'm going to watch you drinking your drink. And you have another drink on the line. And when you get it down low, when you take that last sip, I'm going to have already put that next order in. And when that glass hits the table, I'm going to bring out your next drink." And I said, "Jeff, you are blowing my mind." And I went ahead and put my next drink order in. When I placed my first drink order, I had a paper plane. And by the time that paper plane was finished, Jeff had that Sazerac. Bam, on the table, ready to go. And it really did blow my mind. And I
Yeah.
don't know why other places aren't doing this, because there's that anxiety sometimes of, man, I'm really enjoying this drink and the conversation and everything about it. and this drink's almost empty. And garçon, waiter, where are you?
Right.
The yeah. anxiety of having to order a second drink. Oh no!
Well, I know, just
you know, am
that.
I going to be sitting here without a drink for a little while? I really don't want the. I don't want the flow to end.
Yeah, but Startercade had already ordered that drink, so I didn't have to think about it mid-meal.
Jeff lined it up.
Jeff lined
you up. Everything all at once, and then Jeff just took care of it, and it really was an incredible system. And the food was impeccable. It was, like he said, farm to table.
Ooh.
Super fresh.
I didn't say that, but you're right.
It was. It deserves all the applause and aplomb that comes from whatever it is.
What other cocktails do we have there? So you had a paper plane. I know my second drink and Aaron's second drink was a paper plane. My first drink was a Mad Max.
Mad Max, yeah.
Which was like a, I think it was like rye whiskey and Chenar and something else. I don't remember, but man, it was so good. It was just greatly balanced, and I know it wasn't an aperitif, but I was just feeling the whiskey at that point. This was dinner, and we'd been hanging out all day, so I was ready for some whiskey, and it was great. Phenomenal.
Yeah. The paper plane was great, and they even made the lemon wedge look
yeah.
like a paper airplane. It was.
They really- did. They did. Aaron, what cocktails did you have besides the paper plane?
Oh, man. I definitely had the paper plane for sure. I forget what I had. I think I may have had the Sazerac first, but I don't remember.
No, you had something with the cherry in it.
Maybe it was a Manhattan, man. I don't know. Like,
Manhattan,
like you said,
man.
We had a long day.
Yeah.
I know instead of dessert, we also had a, or at least you and I did, we had a dessert cocktail. We had
Irish
coffee.
I got Irish coffees. Yeah, I totally forgot about the Irish coffees.
Man, those were good, too.
Sure were.
Those were really good. So, yeah, we apologize. We were supposed to record the Grony episode in person all together. We're like, oh, our chemistry is going to be great. And turns out our chemistry is a little more volatile.
No, our chemistry was fantastic.
It was
I don't
too
know
good.
If it was podcast worthy.
Oh.
And no. It definitely wasn't coordinated enough to be a podcast. It was all over the place. But, man, we had a blast.
We had some Ubers probably were like, those guys should not have a podcast, I'm
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We really lost control when we got when we went.
Why did we lose? So we really were just horribly inappropriate every time we got in an Uber. It was like
yeah.
we devolved.
They loved us, though. Well, one of them did.
Yeah,
we tipped well, or at least the Ubers I paid for, I tipped well.
It's true.
They earned it. We had some great Ubers in Biloxi.
We had some great Ubers.
Guys, go to Biloxi and take an Uber to White Pillars because you'll have a great time in the Uber. And
make a reservation.
We gotta stop saying Uber. They're not even paying us.
No, they're not. But they deserve. They deserve it. It was an amazing restaurant.
They definitely got us around.
Yeah,
everything about it was fantastic. And Ben was the high roller, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Ben hit it big on the craps tables the first night he was down at the casino. So Ben bought dinner for everybody. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah. So Ben and I met. We went down to Biloxi like a day earlier on Thursday, and we got on a hot craps table. And that dude won over $2,000 on that table.
What?
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. It's weird how you put it on my credit card, though.
Did he ever give you cash?
No, yeah, he did. He sent me money, but
I think
just
we
a funny
say
story.
The reason why. The reason why he won.
Oh, he loses his credit cards every 10 seconds. I can't. It was either he lost it or.
I thought it had something to do with. He didn't want Marina to find out or something.
Probably. But then he told her right away.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. For our listeners at home, we are doing the Negroni today.
Mm.
And Aaron is going to give
yes.
y'all a rundown
if you
of
wanna
the
follow.
Essential base ingredients.
Yes. Well, what you have to have and what you need to have and what you just could have. Those are all different things. What you must have is Campari. sweet vermouth, red vermouth, gin. Any gin.
What are you doing, bud?
I can cut out all of those gaps. Don't worry.
Oh my gosh. Are you like, are you, is that dramatic pause or are you thinking that whole time?
We don't know. I think about that a lot when I'm doing the edits.
Oh, you can't edit that now because they need to hear how it's like. It's just wild.
So wild. Campari, sweet vermouth, and gin. Those are the essential components.
What you should have, Larry.
Well, also, we should say typically the garnish is an orange. Yeah, yeah.
And some, you know, just some other stuff. Just some other stuff to throw in there.
Yeah.
You never know what you could throw in. There are so many combinations that can make a Negroni.
And you'd be really surprised about the things you can put in a Negroni. I've shocked myself this week, and I've thought, That's not going to be good.
We went to New Orleans one time, Sean, and it was like Negroni week.
Negroni week. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay, there's a whole week dedicated to Negronis, and establishments have taken it upon themselves to make it like a week of charity. And so they'll have a special Negroni, like the house riff on the Negroni, and for every sale of it, they donate, you know, $1-$2 to the Negroni Week charity.
When is really cool. Negroni Week, Sean?
I'm so glad you asked, Cade.
Be neat if it was
I
like
have
right
that
now.
Here in my notes.
You hear
Negroni
that?
Negroni Week this year is September 12th through the 18th.
Oh man, I can't wait.
Yeah. Maybe that's they'll sponsor. You know what? Negroni interest. Week should sponsor us. That's a free shout out to Negroni Week right there.
Yeah. Sure. I would love to help someone with charity by having a Negroni.
But so, like, the really fun thing, at least I've only been to Negroni Week in New Orleans, but literally every place has a different Negroni riff. And it's really fun to try all the different ones.
Yeah. And again, it can get really weird. Like, you can add, like, simple stuff, or you can go crazy, and you'd be surprised what this base drink can handle.
Tell us the craziest thing you've ever put in a Negroni.
I'll tell you the craziest thing I put in a Negroni was this week. It's balsamic vinegar. It's apparently
you're Stanley, crazy.
Stanley Tucci apparently is known for putting balsamic vinegar in a Negroni. And I said, Stanley Tucci's a crazy guy.
Super lost me on that though. You like it?
I love it. I'm having one right now. I'm not kidding. I have a base Negroni and I put a bar spoon full of balsamic vinegar. It seriously, guys, it's the saltiness and the maltiness that comes through. And it is good. It's crazy.
Well, do you think anybody right now is sitting at home listening to us and thinking,
no.
I wonder how the Negroni started.
I'm wondering that because I have no clue.
Okay. Well, the Negroni itself is a riff. Did you know that?
I didn't. What is it a riff on?
It's a riff on the cocktail called a Milano Torino. What the Italians called in shorthand was a Mito, which is the word for myth. And that cocktail was invented in the 1860s at Cafe Camperino in Milan. Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
What's in it?
So a Mito was a one-to-one cocktail of Campari and sweet vermouth, and it was served like old-fashioned style, just one-to-one. And then what happened is Americans started requesting it. They're, you know, the Americans back in the early, late 1800s, they were not very good with the palate just yet. And so they asked for a splash of soda water, and then that became known as the Americano.
Okay.
You've heard of the Americano. That's still pretty common today. Just Campari, sweet vermouth, and soda water. So what happened after that? There was this British lad by the name of Count Camillo Negroni.
He doesn't sound British.
Mm-mm.
Well,
that's
because he hasn't spoken yet.
That was him.
He used to travel around Europe and the United States, and he was actually a rodeo clown in the United States.
Oh, shut up.
This guy, he was this British guy, and he says, well, dear Margaret, I think I'll travel to the United States and become a rodeo clown.
That's
I've studied with the greatest clowns in France, and I'm ready to move to Texas.
Oh, I've seen this. Zach Galifianakis?
Yes, exactly. So now that you say that, I am picturing Zach Galifianakis in Baskets as Count Camillo Negroni. So perfect casting, I think.
I'd produce that.
Perfect casting. When he's in America, he developed a taste for stronger cocktails.
Okay.
And he's back in Europe in 1919. He's hanging out at one of his favorite bars in Florence, Cafe Cassoni. He's friends with the bartender, Fosco Scarselli. Oh, and yeah. He tells him, I want an Americano, but spruce it up. So Scarselli says, all right, bud, I'm going to make this a little stronger for you. Or, okay, he's Italian, so... I'm gonna make it a little bit stronger for you. How about that?
I don't like that at all. Don't like that at all.
Arrivederci.
So that's all he does. He's like, all right, get rid of the soda water and the Americano. I'm gonna replace it with gin. Americanos, y'all are garnished with lemons, but check this out. Friggin' orange.
Friggin' orange.
And Count Negroni was like, this is amazing. This is so good. Make me another. And people started overhearing it. And Count Negroni started ordering it at other bars around Europe. And those people overheard it. And the bartenders were like, this is weird. I'm going to try it. It's good. They start adding it to menus. And so it spreads across Europe and becomes this like just famous drink, the Negroni. And that's how the Negroni started in 1919, 1920, started out in Italy and spread out from there.
So he was like the Johnny Appleseed of the Negroni.
I think so. I mean,
He torched the path for this drink across Europe.
Yeah. And so I think nowadays people garnish, you know, they garnish the Negroni with an orange peel, express the peel and then garnish it in there. But back then they would put a whole orange slice.
Yeah.
Slice in there as the garnish. And I started doing that today and it's amazing.
I've tried it both ways and man, I like the whole slice in there.
I do too.
It's so good.
I do too. I kind of started doing both because I still like the oils and I like it around the edge of the glass. So I did that and then I also did the slice inside and it kind of really starts pulling some more of the orangey flavor in there.
It's delicious.
Orange.
So Cade, everybody's also, they're probably like just waiting. You know, these guys are drinking Negronis. I've learned about it. What does it taste like? And they're waiting for a walkthrough, right?
Yeah, I need a new one anyway.
They got their ingredients together. Why don't we tell them how to make it?
I'll walk you through a Negroni. Sure, man. I am lazy, so I'm going to tell you a lazy Negroni. Some people, they put this in a stirring glass, and they'll mix everything up and then pour it into another glass with ice. It seems superfluous to me, so I just make it in the glass. I like to get a simple cocktail glass, like a whiskey glass. I get my jigger. I get 1 ounce of Campari, splash it in there. 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, splash it in there. 1 ounce of gin, splash it in there. Cover it with ice. Wedge of orange. I give it a gentle squeeze, not a full squeeze, and toss it in. I give it a stir, and I'm done.
Interesting.
You guys ever add a little baby spoon of Luxardo into your Negronis?
You know, I haven't put any Luxardo in a Negroni, personally. No, I've not.
I like it. Just
are you doing that right now?
Yeah, I'm gonna do that right now.
Oh, buddy.
Just a little bar spoon. My bar spoon's pretty small, so just like a little bar spoon.
So now that we've given the instructions, let's take a little pause. I know I need to mix my drink. Our listeners probably are like, "Well, I don't want to miss one word that they say while I'm stirring." Right now, they're waiting. So let's take a little break. Maybe you'll hear a word from our sponsors while we're gone. I don't know. But
sponsors?
Maybe. I don't know. Listen, maybe we'll make a little money. I don't know. Don't skip it. Look, if an ad comes on, listen to it, buddy. It is worth your time.
100% skipping it down there.
They're going to skip it now, Sean.
False alarm. Nope, it's not an ad. It's part of the pod. You'll never notice. It's an ad.
We'll be back in just a minute.
And we're back. Cade was just about to knock out some cardio for us. Cade?
All right. I'm going to do some jumping jacks.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Get up in here.
Do you do them like this? 1, 2, 3, 1? Or do you just go 1, 2?
What are you talking
about?
No, I know exactly what Aaron's talking about. The second one.
You don't do the 1-2-3 ones?
For it's a like jumping
double.
Jack?
It's like double jumping jacks. You have to do double.
I just do a normal jumping jack, and every time my hands go up in the middle over top, that's one.
Oh. Yeah.
Hands down, legs well, out, all, hands up, legs.
Are you starting? Two. Are you starting with your hands over your head? Because if not, that's a half, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, I still finish with that extra half too. So,
I guess so. And no, man, that's a half a jumping jack. What are you talking about, this guy? 1-2-3 ones is where it's at.
You I do it just cheap. Like Sean said. Actually, I just yeah. do it there on all parts.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, either way.
And jump.
We all agree Cade hasn't done them yet.
I just did them.
You did three.
That was a lot. It's 10 o'clock.
You count Negroni'd to three.
One. I'm glad you know what? You brought it back beautifully, Aaron, because in my head, I'm like, how are we going to stop talking about Jumpin' Jacks? This is a cocktail podcast and we're talking about Jumpin' Jacks?
Brought it back.
So this is also a dad podcast, and I got hit with one of those moments where you're like, wow, I'm old the other night.
What
so happened? I was putting my son to bed tonight, and whenever we're going to sleep.
You're such a dad.
You don't night. Your kids don't go night?
Yeah, they do, but you just said it to a bunch of other adults.
My kids go night. I can't help it. What do you want to stay up? You want to stay up?
We're almost 40. We know what bedtime is, Sean.
Well, you want them to stay awake? They got to go night. So
I'm putting my son to bed. You know, night.
No big deal.
As we call it in the biz, night.
In the fatherly business. What? All right, you son of a gun. But so we always listen to music on our Echo Dot when we're falling asleep. And I don't like to say, hey, what do you want on Alexa tonight? Or hey, son, what do you want on Alexa tonight when we fall asleep? Because then Alexa comes on and is like, what did you say? And I'm like, no, not yet, Alexa. Shut the fuck up.
Can you stop saying that word, please? Because yeah. People might actually have yeah. these.
It's 2022.
I'm trying to piss people off at this point.
Schmer. So that's exactly why I don't say it. So I go, hey, bud, all right, it's time to fall asleep. What do you want on the radio? And he goes, doesn't skip a beat. Dad, what's a radio?
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, my God, go to sleep.
Yeah.
No music for you tonight.
What's a radio?
I just stopped. I was like, Alexa, play music by Blazing the Monster Machines.
Yeah, that's all he wanted to hear anyway.
Yeah. Man, that's
anyway, so we're old. True. We're old. Our kids don't know what the radio is.
Well, it's so much worse than that. They don't know what commercials are.
Seriously.
Ava gets just mad if you gotta like wait. Like if we're watching live, like Hulu Live or something, and you know, just happen to be watching something on there, it's like, wait a minute, you can't skip this? What are we doing here? Like,
I tried to explain to my kids what live television used to be, how like you couldn't just pick what you wanted to watch at any point in time. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, there was only certain things on at certain times.
Yeah.
And you had to be there for them, and you couldn't pause and you couldn't rewind. And she's like, what are you talking about? Man, like,
Dad, you're not making any sense.
You're talking crazy, man.
We had that same thing at the beach. Like, they didn't have any streamers, and the internet wasn't good. So it was like, well, whatever's on is on.
What?
Welcome to my childhood, kid.
Yeah, that's.
Be glad you're even allowed to watch cartoons right now. That was my childhood.
Real.
So I'm drinking my Negroni right now, and I made a base one, just plain Jane OG Negroni, and it's amazing. They're so great. Good. The Campari is bitter, but it's got like that orangey flavor to it, and with the orange oils and my orange slice that I have in there, it's just so good.
I think it's a great summer drink, and I think when I have a Negroni, I think of like grilling out hot weather, sitting outside in the sun. It is a sunny drink.
It's refreshing. It's refreshing.
What it makes me think of.
You know what? It's refreshing, and it's also very strong.
Since you were doing a little bit of the history, did you read anything about, like, Campari? Like, what is in Campari that gives it some of that flavor?
Good question. So, Campari's a bitter Italian aperitif, right? Campari itself is a proprietary blend of herbs and spices, citrus notes, iconic to drink before dinner, invented in 1860 by Gaspare Campari. He's never altered it since.
Is he still alive?
He's not. He'd be really old if that were the case. but he
grammar burn.
He made the Campari recipe, and he said, "I'm done. That's it. Not touching it.
One and done."
He was like, "I'm done." He was kind of like a guy that made a bunch of bitters and stuff and, like, sold them around, like, "Oh, here's this and here's that." And then he made this bitter and he was like, "This is the one. I'm giving it my name and I'm done. This is it." And so nobody knows what's in it. From that point on, there's one person at a time knows how to make it. One person.
Is this the one where they ship in the ingredients and, like, different people have to know it? Like in not everybody, bags. not any single person.
The legend is that the master distiller, like, director of it, the factory director, gets the majority of the herbs delivered in a unmarked brown paper bags directly to their office, so that nobody knows what it is.
Pretty nuts. That's
what if they die?
Oh, they got a system. I bet. I was just thinking that. I was like, they got, like, a system for the handover.
They do, but they won't even divulge what that system is.
It's like the Manhattan Project.
But they do have a system.
That's serious business. I bet it's not that serious. I bet it's a big joke when you go to work there. They're like, "Yeah, they think it's a secret." This is just bar mat shots. Like, we just get all the bar mat shots from every bar.
It's just red number 5 and oranges.
Those idiots.
We put a little bleach in there to make it sting. That's not true.
We just get some Everclear and put in oranges and red number 5.
There's no bleach in Campari. Let's be very clear. That is not what I'm saying.
I used to think that I would hate Campari, but, like, the older and angrier I get, I just love it. I just love it. So I got nothing bad to say about Campari. It's great for your anger.
You know what else I learned when I was researching this? Apparently Campari is made differently for different markets.
No way. So
it can range anywhere from 20% to 27% ABV, depending on where you're buying it.
Oh, not the flavor, just, like, the strength.
Yeah, not the flavor. Like, I guess the dilution.
By country or by state?
By country. I mean, I don't know if by state. I think by country. So my Campari is 24%, but apparently there's some 27% Campari floating around out there.
Interesting.
And then also apparently there's some 20% in, like, the pussy countries. Countries that can't handle their liquor.
You mean the strongest countries, Sean? The strongest ones?
Yeah.
Mine is also 24%. So
mine is also 24% because we're all in the same country. We've established that.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. Yeah. Louisiana is a different country. Let's be real.
Louisiana is a different country.
We're pretty strange. I got no arguments there. Yeah. So I said red number 5, but do y'all know where the Campari's bright red color originally comes from?
Cherries?
Oh, that's a good guess. Aaron, you got a guess?
Yeah, I'm going to say not that. What I'm going to say is, are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
Strawberries.
Ooh, also a good guess. Also, both of y'all are wrong as hell, but...
What is the correct answer?
Comes from a bug.
What bug?
The female cochineal insect. It looks like a red roly-poly.
What? There's red roly-polies in here?
I don't want it anymore.
They changed it starting in 2006. I guess they wanted to make sure their product was vegan or something. Mm. I don't know. But they changed it in 2006, which is pretty recent. So if you find, like, an old bottle of Campari, you got insects in there. And now they use artificial dye. Now they use artificial dye.
Are they losing some insect flavor, though? Did the flavor profile change?
I don't know.
Or was it just for color?
Supposedly just for color.
My current bottle does say artificially colored. So
yeah. Although I guess bugs are natural, but is that still artificially?
They kill them because it's not vegan if they kill the bugs, though, right?
Yeah.
The bugs die.
Maybe they let them die of natural causes.
No, but it doesn't count, Sean.
If you can convince a vegan.
There were factories where they were gassing these cow. Bugs and killing them.
I can eat this cow. It died of natural causes. Show me that, vegan.
Oh, that's a good point. I probably don't want to eat that bitter meat.
You know what else is bitter, though, is this Campari business.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Bitter. It's a flavor joke.
It's bitter.
It's a potable bitter, you guy.
So it is. It's an aperitif, or since it's Italian, it would be called an aperitivo. And that's meant to be drank before dinner. The bitter flavors, all those herbal things, that's all meant to stimulate hunger and your appetite as part of an aperitif or aperitivo before dinner. And so that's why it's bitters, because those herbs and things were meant, like, that's what they did back in the day, and it stuck. And that's why the Campari is big in pre-dinner drinks like the Negroni.
Totally makes sense. So you've got the Campari, you got the gin, you got the sweet vermouth. That's your basic Negroni.
Right.
Can you make variations of it? Can you change things up?
But so the great thing about the Negroni, and this is one reason I love it, is it's so malleable. Like, you can bend it every direction you want to. There are some very famous cocktails are riffs on the Negroni, like the Boulevardier. We already did an episode on that. That's a riff on the Negroni.
And we also talked about how that's so closely related to, like, the Manhattan.
Yeah. So I'm glad you said that, because I forgot to mention it. The Mito is basically a Campari Manhattan.
How?
It's one-to-one Campari sweet vermouth.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah, so it was like, here's this Italian Manhattan. They didn't have whiskey, but they had sweet vermouth, fortified wine, and this new aperitivo from this Signorino Campari, and made the drink, and it was good. So I kind of want to try the Mito now.
Yeah, I'm curious about it. It's the Milano what?
Milano Torino.
Milano Torino.
I make a smoked Negroni.
Mmm.
So what I do is I mix the ingredients dry in my glass, and then I've got a fog hat. The brand is called Fog Hat, and I've got these gin barrel wood shavings that I put in it, and I torch it, and then it's like this thing, you put it on top of the glass, and there's holes in the bottom of it, and the smoke comes out into the glass and can't escape. So the smoke, like, kisses the glass, and gets on the top of the drink.
We know what smoking a drink is, man. Come on. They're listening to a cocktail podcast.
You know what? And they know what your burp was, but it does not mean they necessarily know what a smoked cocktail is. Anyway, all right. So if you're into smoking cocktails, smoke your Negroni, because it's delicious.
So what sort of things would you smoke a Negroni with?
I've got some gin barrel shavings that I use. If you order from this Fog Hat company, they've got, like, all kinds of different wood shavings. So if I'm smoking, like, an old fashioned, I've also got some whiskey barrel shavings that are good. I've got hickory shaving chips as well. If you're a man about town, maybe you've got some pecan trees in your yard. Just go get, like, a little shaving out of it and smoke. Use that to smoke.
Could you ever try cherry?
Yeah.
Wait, cherry what? Wood? Yeah. Yeah, use cherry wood, bud. I don't care. Do what you want.
Here's what I think. I think we should take a little break, mix a little drink.
Let's do that.
Come right back.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Let's make another drink.
We'll be back in just a minute. And we're back.
So we all just made another drink. I think we've each done like different riffs. So let's kind of tell what we did. Cade, what did you do?
So I have really been enjoying the Chinar, however you want to pronounce it. Again, we've established we don't care. I like saying Chinar. It's just easy. So it's the artichoke.
You gave me so much crap.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you get away with
switching
sides. When
I gave you the correct pronunciation, you're like, that sounds ridiculous. It's Sinar. I'm saying Sinar.
Yep.
I think we've...
You've switched sides, buddy. I think we've established
we're team Sinar.
We are willing to evolve.
That's true.
We are willing to evolve.
have, I don't know the answers. So Chinar, Sinar, Chinar. I really like it. It's artichoke liquor, and I like substituting it for the Campari and making a Chinar Negroni. Ooh. So I do 1 ounce of gin, 1 ounce of Chinar, 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, and it just gives it a little more, I don't know, less bright,
yeah, orangey it's deeper flavor. It's deeper, I think, deeper. Right?
Yeah, it's a lot deeper. And then, like I mentioned earlier,
the base.
You can throw some stuff in there. So I threw some balsamic vinegar in there, which, again, you wouldn't think would work, but it works so good.
So I buy that because they're, you know, really popular for drinks to use shrub, which is like a like strawberry shrub, like balsamic vinegar and strawberries and cocktails. I've tried a few. Like, I've had a strawberry shrub bramble before. I didn't really care for it. But maybe I just haven't had the vinegar in the right cocktail. Maybe I need to try it in a Negroni.
I couldn't imagine a drink that it would work in except for this. But again, I'm always...
What do you do with it? Do you stir it? You shake it? Like, what? How you make it?
I just stir it in. One bar spoon is gotcha. All... And a bar spoon is very small. I mean, it's like less than a teaspoon. I just stir that in there, but you can definitely taste the, you know, kind of acerbic bite of that balsamic vinegar. It hits, and it gives it a nice flavor. It gives it some complexity.
Is Chinar an Amaro or a liqueur?
I think it's a liqueur.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Okay.
So what I did.
Go ahead. What did you do, Aaron?
Took some Appleton's 8-year rum and ooh, just did a rum Negroni. I've read it as Kingston Negroni.
Kingston Negroni. Yeah. Okay. Yaman.
And basically made a Negroni like that. And so, you know, 1-1-1 ratio, vermouth, Campari, Appleton Estate, Reserve. It's quite good. It's the rum is heavy in it. I'll say that it's rum forward because rum's a strong flavor anyways. But you use a good rum and it tastes really nice.
Did you use private stock?
No, Appleton Estate.
You did say that.
No, I think I don't know. I don't know if it would be good with the vanilla flavors there.
It's not too sweet.
It is. So I was gonna say. It cuts if you're not a fan of Campari and you want to dip your toes in. I think this might be a way to go because it does cut the bitter quite a bit with the sweetness of the rum. I think.
So if you're not a fan of Campari, you might like my riff that I did, which was the Contessa. So the Contessa is you still do, you know, the 1 ounce of gin instead of Campari, you do 1 ounce of Aperol. And then instead of sweet vermouth, you do 1 ounce of dry vermouth.
Whoa.
And that's called a Contessa. You can also riff on the Contessa. If you add grapefruit bitters, you can call it a summer Negroni. So I did both. I did both of those. I like the summer Negroni better than the Contessa. But I'm also not like a huge dry vermouth fan.
Yeah.
So I felt like adding those grapefruit bitters to it, it rounded it out more and kind of cut that dry vermouth and made it more enjoyable. Like I wasn't super enjoying it without the grapefruit bitters. And so I was like, well, all right, I'm adding the bitters because I don't like this as much. And then I liked it. Now it is sweeter because you got Aperol instead of Campari. So if you like the sweeter drinks, go with the Contessa or the summer Negroni.
Interesting. Yeah, that sounds neat. I wonder about like if you use like a Lillet Blanc or a
oof. Yes. Yeah. So
Americano. Yep.
I think that would work with that driver.
When I was Googling the summer Negroni, I saw a lot of people instead of dry vermouth using Lillet. Yeah, a lot of people.
I'd like to try that sometime.
You can sub the gin out. You can make a mezcal or tequila Negroni.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same way you make a Boulevardier, sub the gin out for whiskey, sub the gin out for tequila, mezcal. Aaron, you subbed it out for rum, Kingston.
Yeah, man.
You can take the gin out and put in Prosecco And then it's called a Negroni Spagliato.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm impressed you pronounced that as well as you did.
I don't know. That could be totally wrong.
It sounded the best I've ever heard of it.
Say it with confidence.
I sounded out every letter in the word.
S's and B's shouldn't be next to each other.
Spagliato.
Yeah. And do you know what spagliato means, Sean?
No.
Prosecco? It means mistake. I actually did. I'm not really selling it. I'm not on the history this time, but I did read about the spagliato.
I think you're making a spagliato right now about the translation there.
I'm not. From what I read, spagliato means like mistake or error, and someone accidentally put Prosecco in there instead of the vermouth. And they were like, well, it's a mistake, but it's pretty good. So it's a Negroni Spagliato.
It makes sense. I mean, the Americano is very popular. That's soda water. So replace the soda water with like an alcoholic bubbly.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that's what they mistook it for, was the Prosecco instead of the bubbly water for the Americano. But yeah, they called it the Spagliato. And it means like a mistake from what I read. Again, I'm not. Nice. I don't know anything about the Italian language.
So. I would try that. I would try that. Actually, sounds like a delicious brunch cocktail.
It does. It sounds refreshing.
I would like that. I think so. I love a mimosa.
Yeah,
so good. So I think this sort of thing would be really good. I like taking a mimosa, and you can drop in a shot of Aperol.
So on the subject of like brunch style drinks, I had a Negroni this afternoon. I was like, I kind of want a little bit of coffee in the afternoon, but ooh, I kind of want a cocktail too. And I looked and I had the French press from this morning, had a little bit of coffee left in it. And I said, let's put them together. And I'd read that's done. And so I made a coffee or espresso, some people call it, Negroni. I just made a Campari, gin, sweet vermouth, and then another shot of coffee. And it's crazy how well it holds up. The coffee balances out so good. And it almost makes me think of like a white Russian or something like that, but without any of the cream, but with all the strong coffee flavors, and you still get the liquor flavors, and then you get the fruity sweetness in there with it, which it balances out really, really good.
So I was about to ask something dumb. I was about to be like, do you think the coffee's good with like the bitter and sweet?
Yeah.
And then in my head, when I was thinking that sentence, I was like, oh, I just described coffee to myself. Yes.
And then I think that's like a super Italian thing too, is like making coffee and orange drinks or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, coffee and orange go really, and that's where like,
the you know, whole, Aaron, the whole I hear they orange. Like coffee in Italy. I hear
yeah,
that
but with
about
the orange, it. Put the orange in there with soda water. You know?
But the whole slice of orange in a coffee cocktail, it goes so good together. And the orange gets a little dingy and dirty looking and soak some of it up and you eat it afterwards. It's really good.
I like that. I want to try that. I'm going to try that very soon.
And you can have it with decaf too. I had one with decaf as well.
Why would
well, that
you
sounds terrible.
Get out of here.
You that didn't. Sounds awful.
Come on. Me and Sean will go to our coffee podcast and leave you here drinking decaf if you want.
Seriously.
Are you guys anti-decaf?
Yes.
Yeah, but if you want coffee at night,
why would you?
It's not the same thing. They only make crappy decaf. There's no such thing as like high quality, good coffee decaf. Nope, it doesn't exist. It's too expensive to make the caffeinated coffee. It's all just crap.
Highly disagree. Gavalia decaf is fantastic.
Nope, you're wrong about this.
Have you had Gavalia decaf?
Buddy, I have not.
Of course he has it. We were just telling you how much we hate decaf. Why we'd be like, I've got to find the best decaf. No, screw that. It's already perfect. Like, coffee's great as it is. It tastes delicious, and it gives me a little pick-me-up. Why would I be like, oh, I love this. Let me find a worse version to
worse
drink like never.
Version. Let me step down a notch and take that for the rest of my life.
I will drink decaf with my mother-in-law after dinner, and I'll put liquor in mine.
That's why you like it.
Because my mother-in-law is here.
No, it's the liquor.
It's pretty good.
Well, that was a weird... Sorry to all you decaf fans, but y'all are wrong.
Look, y'all are wrong here. Sean and Aaron, hi dads. We are not fans of the decaf, but you got a friend in Cade.
Yeah. You got a friend in Cade.
I support your decaf habits.
Yeah. Well,
Randy Newman.
Yeah.
All right. It's just bitter bean butter.
I have seen Randy Newman live in concert.
I didn't know that.
Hangout Fest in Orange Beach, Alabama.
Oh, Hangout Fest. That's right. Oh, yeah. I was thinking Bay Fest. That's what
it was. It was on the beach, and there was a great lineup. Ooh. I think String Cheese Incident or Experiment or something like that was there. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Ooh, and nice. Randy Newman.
Yes, that fits.
Let me tell you, digging a foxhole on the beach, laying a towel down, getting comfortable, drinking an $8 Dos Equis, and listening to Randy Newman on the stage playing piano, cursing more than I thought my childhood hero from Toy Story did, was incredible. And
really? Randy Newman's got a potty mouth?
Oh, I mean, a ton of his songs are politically driven, and he is, yeah, he was just tuning up his piano, and he was like, doo 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 doo. Oh. Do 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 do, and then he started. You got a friend in me, yeah. But he's ripping.
Disney does not approve.
Because I mean, all I could think of like was Woody and Buzz Lightyear, and then this guy is.
Hey, do you think Andy never grew up? Gosh,
I know.
How about you?
It was the best concert I've ever been in my life, and honestly, if you ever get a chance to go to Hangout Fest, I don't know what it is like now, but 10 years ago, man, it was amazing.
You're dating yourself.
One of my first concert, my dad took me and my brother to see Weird Al Yankovic in New Orleans.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you watching
and
the
I'll
new
tell
movie?
You, Weird Al was my childhood hero. He was not dirty in concert. He lived up to his aura. And brother, if you have a chance to see Weird Al in concert, you should go.
He's 95
totally would.
Years old now.
He changes costumes for every song. Like, it's
you,
wild.
When you were
he's
a child.
Nuts. He comes out, he's rocking the accordion. Look, so my dad got us tickets up in the balcony, right? We didn't really have much money. So he just found the cheapest resale tickets he could find. I'd never been to a concert. I didn't know what an encore was. So when Al finished, everybody started cheering, and my dad's like, follow me, let's go. And I was like, no, Dad, we're going to miss some songs. He's like, son, I'm your father. I've been to a lot of concerts. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. Come with me. And so Dad, like, he just brings us straight up to the stage. Like, we're right on the stage. And the second we get settled, I'm like, Dad, we're not supposed to be here. Weird Al busts out dressed like a Jedi, holding an accordion, and he starts jamming out to the riff he did on American Pie about Anakin Skywalker after Phantom Menace came out. And then he went into Yoda. It was great. He came up, he played the accordion in my face. It was great.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Weird Al was awesome. And then after the concert, there was a line around the Sanger Theater in New Orleans because everybody wanted to get a glimpse of Weird Al. He came out and sat on a stool backstage outside that door, sat on a stool, and met with every single person that was there in line. Everyone.
What a hero.
After
Sean, who's
going to
play you in the movie?
It was awesome. Lifelong Weird Al fan. That is a class act. I can't wait for the Roku original with Daniel Radcliffe, the Weird Al story. Can't wait. Anyway.
I want to see it.
I do want to see it also.
I can't. So when do y'all want to start the Weird Al podcast? Because I've got... I'm
I knew
in on
you
that
were
one.
A Weird Al fan. I've heard a briefer version of that story before. I didn't mean it like that, but you know, that's a good story.
Yeah, that's a story from my childhood that I remember with my dad. I'll always remember that. It's weird. You know, you don't know as a dad the things that you do that your kids are going to remember forever. I don't know. Maybe because
he probably thought he was being selfish. Like, I'm going to go see Weird Al from up front.
No. Come on, kid. He knew. He went. He's got, like, dad went to so many concerts. He's seen all the legends.
Nice.
So he knew what was going on. I didn't know what an encore was. He was like, Sean, I'm getting my.
Sean, come on, Sean. Sean, get up here. Get up here, Sean. Come on, Sean. Come on.
Sean, we're gonna get some good seats. Come on, get up here.
Just trust me. Come on.
You wanna look at this. Do I know another funny memory I have from that Weird Al concert?
Yes. 100% yes.
That's the first time I've smelled marijuana.
What?
Yeah, how old were you? Somebody lit up at the Weird Al concert inside the Sanger Theater, and my dad was like, smells like marijuana. I was like, what's marijuana, Dad?
Sean, that's
and he was like marijuana. Oh, nothing.
So this wasn't a concert, but I do have, the only reason I mention this is I just have very vivid memories of it when I was a kid, is my parents took me to see Gallagher when I was a kid.
Whoa!
Oh, dang.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious. And I went to Gallagher, and it was incredible. I mean, we were close enough to where pieces of watermelon were splashing on.
Oh,
and
dude,
he was insane. He was insane. He was such a crazy guy. And I didn't get any of the jokes, but it was just like, he did some jokes and he's like, now we're going to smash the watermelon. Smashed it.
That's so true.
It's the whole thing.
I can't remember a single Gallagher joke other than, yeah, he smashed watermelons.
Oh, no. He also had like some very political humor and things like that. And apparently he has some degree in like, I think he has a degree in like political science as well.
Wow.
That could be incorrect. It came from Fibbage the other night, but he has a degree in something. But he's super clever, and I remember it so vividly, though, of Gallagher when I was a kid.
Do your Gallagher, Cade.
We all loved it. I don't have a Gallagher.
No, Cade, the one you used to do. Do your Gallagher.
The best Gallagher impression.
Cade, come on, for the people. The people want to hear Cade's Gallagher.
Cade Gallagher.
It's legend.
I don't think I have a Gallagher, do I?
Dude, you used to do it all the time in college.
Did I?
Yeah, like, here's my Gallagher impression. You'd curl out your hair and draw on a mustache. You'd whip a watermelon out of your pocket.
Yeah, man. Dude, come on.
If Aaron's not going to share one of his concerts or live performances from when he was young, I'll tell him one more, because Aaron and I grew up in the same area. The Harlem Globetrotters came.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. And we were sitting in the stands, and one of the Globetrotters came out into the stands, and the ref was giving him 1-4. He was like, you can't be out in the stands. Give me that basketball. And then the Globetrotter sat down in my mother's lap. And he was like, what are you talking about, ref? I'm just here watching the show. And he's like, I know you're a Globetrotter, and you got the basketball in your hand. Get out of there. And my mother is like, what is going on? I'm like, what is going on? He's supposed to be out there.
That's amazing.
Buddy, I got y'all both beat anyways. When I was a child, and I was little, I went with my mom
both?
And my mom's sister.
What you don't know is at 8, Aaron was no longer a child and little. He was just this like 6-foot monster in third grade.
That's a different podcast. Anyways,
you were both a child and you were little.
Established. And we went to Pensacola Civic Center to see Sir Elton John.
What?
I went to see Elton John. No big deal. Yeah, you know. Circle
Did y'all get to see the Ninja Turtles live?
What?
The Ninja Turtles, when the movies came out, they had a concert, a touring concert.
No.
Yeah, man. Ninja Turtles.
Well, the best part about that Pensacola story is, though, that my mom got us lost.
Yeah, you went to Elton John as a child? That's amazing.
Yeah, we were in the balcony. I remember my aunt had, like, surgery. She has rheumatoid arthritis, and she had just had, like, some kind of surgery in her foot, and she had, like, pins in her foot. So she was in, like, a wheelchair rig, man, with her foot propped up with pins in her exposed toes, and we got wheeled in. Like, so we got to cut the lines.
The the Elton John signer cast?
No, we were still in the balcony, but we were up the front row of the balcony, baby.
Nice.
That's awesome.
But it was cool. I have a weird, like, I have a weird affinity for Elton John now, so that's cool, I guess.
He's not well right now, I heard.
Oh, is he sick?
Yeah.
I don't know. I gotta cut this rubber band off my finger before it falls off.
You hold up. What?
Just shut up for a second. Okay, we got it. All right.
Hold on. A, why do you have a rubber band on your finger? And B, why couldn't you just take it off? You had to cut it off.
I'll tell you the whole story. So I'm pacing around my living room. I have a small female child. She's 4, newly 4. So she has these little rubber bands that she puts in her hair. Well, she's
got this, the worst.
This stupid, freaking, big-eyed, Rapunzel-looking bust
hair. Who sent you that?
That some idiot sent her for her birthday, but she was doing its hair with these stupid rubber bands that are now all over the floor of my living room. Anyways, I was playing with one nervously, and I was just wrapping it around my finger, and then my finger started swelling up. I couldn't get it off, so I had to go cut it. I had to go cut it off before I lost my finger.
So you've seen those videos where it's like, oh, this dad learned how to braid hair, and he's like so cool. Guess what? Braiding hair is so hard, and I tried, and I have watched YouTube videos, and you know what? I still can't do it, because when I try to make those rubber bands go the right way, I just get her hair caught up in it, and my girls get mad, and I end up just getting frustrated, and I quit.
100% can't do it. No, me, I'm same, buddy. I cannot do it. Like, today she was done up in two little buns, like Princess Leia meets Minnie Mouse on the top of her head.
Yeah.
And I was like, I couldn't do that. If I really tried, if I like sat down soberly with fresh coffee in my body, like, I'm going to do this girl's hair. I couldn't do that in a million years.
I know. Even taking it out, even taking it down when I'm like, all right, I've got to bathe the kids. So I'm like, I can either A, cut these rubber bands out of her hair or ask for help. And sometimes my pride gets the best of me. I was like, no, we're not asking your mom. I'm going to cut these rubber bands out.
You know what I do, Cade? You know what I do? I've never once washed Ava's hair.
You've never once washed your daughter's hair?
Not since she got real hair. Like, when she was a baby, of course. But, like, not since it became a curly, real, actual head of hair. No, because half the time she skips nights, right? Like, so every other night she does her hair or whatever. And, I just don't do the hair. Like, if I have to bathe Ava, I'll text my wife, like, does her hair need washing? And she, like, it's almost auto-response. Before I even hit send, I get an answer, no.
Nice. Speaking of your wife, have you made her any drinks lately?
Oh, yes.
Drinks, yes, we in make fact. For our wives.
So, anyways, what I did is I made her a Negroni. I said, I'm going to let this lady try the High Dad's cocktail of the week, a Negroni. I made her an original recipe, one part vermouth, one part gin, one part Campari, orange slice, one drop of the juice in there. I'm liking it like that too, guys. You guys were right. And stirred it up. Have a listen. Here's what she had to say.
It does not look like something I like.
Such pessimism.
It's not good. Try it again. It burns. Nope. Nope.
What'd she say?
What'd she say?
You just heard it. You don't know what we're doing here? These guys still don't know how we do this. We edited it.
Yeah, so I guess she didn't like it. I'm guessing she did not like it.
It sounds like she's not a fan of the Negroni.
I'll tell you this. She did like the Kingston Negroni better. Like, she said, if I was served this, I could drink it. So, like, she didn't like it.
That's improvement.
But yeah, that's an improvement.
I think it's the bitterness, right? Like, she obviously...
She doesn't like gin.
She doesn't, but I don't even think she tasted the gin. She probably just tasted Campari.
But I bet she knew gin was in there.
No, she didn't, actually. She thought it was... Because afterwards, she was talking about it. She's like, yeah, just stop making me whiskey drinks. And I was like, well, that wasn't even whiskey. What are you talking about?
I think the Campari, people get caught up too much in that, like, cough syrup flavor.
Yeah.
But it's not... It's
thick, though. It's thick like an orange liqueur almost, but not quite that thick.
Exactly.
I like it, though. Like, I like that, like, bitter and sweetness that Campari has. But, you know, I certainly, if somebody told me, like, oh, I don't like Campari, like, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Fair. You say Campari weird, man.
Is it just me? Kate, say it real quick.
Campari.
Sean, say it.
Campari.
Oh. Is that right?
Campari?
Campari.
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 I think you say Campari.
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 Campari. Campari.
No.
David Campari, Milano.
Gaspare Campari.
You know what else? There are other red bitter liqueurs like Campari that you could also sub in.
Can you tell us some?
I think Paychads makes one. I can't remember the names, but if you just go look like at the store, like where the Campari is, you'll see some other options that you could get, and you can sub those in. Now, Kate, you subbed the Chenard for Campari.
Yeah.
And I went a different route with a riff that I made. I have some Amaro Lucano, and since that Amaro is a little sweet, I kept the Campari in, and I subbed it for the sweet vermouth.
What?
Yeah. It was great. It was so good.
Fag.
Very good. So that's an option also. Sub out the sweet vermouth. Maybe try that with the Chenard.
Yeah, not an option if you buy that fancy pants sweet vermouth like Richie Rich K does over here.
I like the Antica formula, the Carpano. It is the best vermouth.
I mean, it better be.
Yeah. I picked up a bottle while we were in Biloxi.
It was delicious. When you bought that, I was so excited.
I did try it.
I was a little too impaired because I don't remember what it tasted like.
It was probably the fourth drink of the day.
We had a miniature cocktail hour where we were supposed to make like two cocktails five ways and serve it to everybody, and then everybody took a turn.
Everybody was supposed to make their own like five serving cocktail.
Yeah, and so then Sean gets up there and he makes full cocktails for five people. I remember that. Like it was just like everybody that went made it a little bit bigger, and by the end of it, we were just drinking full cocktails.
Yeah,
for happy hour.
I made a gigantic last word and portioned it out for five people.
It was good though.
Everybody got a really full portion last word.
The last word was delicious. It was better than I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, I was surprised I liked it, honestly, but I liked it a lot.
Did y'all try the green chartreuse by itself?
I don't think we did. I don't remember.
It's not as big on the anise as I think like it might have its a reputation for.
Well, but maybe it's because we're used to drinking like more anise-y type things, though.
Well, I think the green is misleading. The green probably makes you think it's going to taste like absinthe.
Oh, I guess so.
Or antifreeze.
or that. It's very bright. I like it. When I got my first bottle, I tried it and I was like, oh, that's just more herbally and delicious. No wonder. I tried to make a last word without it, just with herb saint, and it didn't work. And now I know why.
Well, I ordered one at the bar, and I'll go ahead and tell you, Sean, yours was better. I think he put just a touch too much Luxardo in there or something. Like it was too.
Yeah, you got to be balanced with it, I think. I think that's very big on it.
But it was still good, and no one else liked it. Everybody that was around hated it completely, but I thought it was
good
still.
So, Aaron, I've got my bottle of Chenard here, and I'm looking at the back, and I'm a little peeved at Ben, because after Biloxi, we hung out again with Ben.
It's on the bottle.
We hung out with Ben again, and we were playing Presidents and A-Holes, and I was the beer bee, and I had to make everybody drinks, and he asked me to make him a rum and Diet Coke. And so I made him a rum and Diet Coke, Cade, and I added like a little, probably not even a full shot of Chenard into it. And I was like, I bet this would go well with the rum and Coke. Yeah. I tried it. I thought it tasted good. So I brought it to him, and he was disgusted. He's Early even bragged to me it. About how he likes Chenard. He's like, I love Chenard. Yeah, that's good. I sip on it in Europe.
Fully hated your drink for sure.
He hated it.
On the back of the bottle, it says Chenard and
the cola. Number one way to use Chenard on the back of a bottle is a Chenard and cola.
But it does not say Chenard and rum and cola, though. So
it doesn't. Chenard and rum and diet cola.
See, no, that's one likes what I diet. Said. I think that it was the diet cola that was, because it wasn't. I think it was diet coke. It was a diet coke or diet check.
Ben's a weird guy, impossible to please. It wouldn't have mattered what you made. He's gonna hate it. Let's be real.
We're still gonna say that he's our first guest on this podcast.
You know
he's
what? We invited him today. To this one. At any moment, he could just pop in and be like,
"I think hey, he sent us a text like 40 minutes ago."
Did he?
Yeah, I think so.
He's
I forgot
always
to look
invited,
at it.
And maybe he'll show up for the next one.
We'll see.
We're gonna say this 10 episodes from now. Ben's what? Gonna join us on the next episode.
One of these days, it'll work out.
This is gonna
Ben
be a running
is the
gag.
Yeti. He's the Yeti. They'll never see him. They're going to start believing he's fake. We made him up.
Stories we tell, he sounds made up.
Y'all know Ben is just what they call their drunk alter ego combined, right?
He's a like a whole, it's, they got a whole Tyler Durden thing going on.
Yeah.
A fictional character that fled Ukraine, won $2,000 at the casinos, bought dinner for everybody.
Is Ben our... Is he, did we imagine him?
Diet cola.
No, man. He's real.
He's totally real.
Oh, he's definitely real.
Oh, no.
No, this is a real guy.
He's real.
He's been on my team for beer pong before.
Oh,
we've had a soundbite of him on this pod. So,
Chenard. Chenard.
He definitely said Sinar.
He did Sinar.
He sent us 3 sound bites, and I think they were all video because he didn't know how to just record sound. He definitely was on the toilet for one of them.
For sure. For sure.
Definitely was on the toilet. Although, to be fair, he spends half his life on the toilet.
Man, I can attest to that. He stayed with us for a couple days, and brother,
he'll confirm it. He's not going to deny that.
I'm confirming it because he would too. Like, he would absolutely agree. Half his life is spent on a toilet. What are you gonna do? Truth's the truth.
Gosh. Oh man.
We love you, Ben.
I love you, Ben.
Do y'all want to take a little break?
Let's take a little break.
We probably should.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Did you guys know lava lamps are really dangerous to have in your home? It's not 1970 anymore, guys. Get rid of your lava lamps. What are you doing with one? I have one. I'm looking at it. It's really hot. I don't know what's going to happen. Nothing. Get a million.
It's a lamp.
Mine's purple orange.
I wanted a lava lamp as a kid so bad, and my mom wouldn't let me have one.
Oh, man. For real?
My neighbor had one, and it was so cool. I loved it. I wanted one.
I had a waterbed growing up.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I had a heated waterbed growing
heated?
Up.
Heated?
Yeah. It was heated, like a fish tank heater. It was inside of it, I guess.
That's wild.
And it's like sleeping on a lava lamp, and it's probably also very dangerous. Then it sprung a leak, and we had to get rid of it, and that was that.
My parents had a waterbed, and my uncle had a waterbed. And like now that I'm old and have back problems, I'm like, what were they thinking? Like,
it was not comfortable.
Who ever thought that was a good idea? But I loved it as a kid. I thought it was so comfortable.
Let's sleep on 200 gallons of water.
That's such a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea.
That's such. What were they thinking back then?
Why would you want that in your bedroom?
I have no idea.
You gotta like run a hose from outside through like from the tub or something.
Can I ask y'all a question? How do you get rid of the water out the room?
Yes,
with
exactly.
A water hose.
A water hose. And you have to drain it out.
Yeah. You hook it to it and squish it all out. It was a terrible idea.
I think my parents just sold that house with the waterbed in it.
This house,
they're like, you just gotta keep. You're keeping this thing.
How much mold do you think was in that waterbed?
Oh,
who knows?
God,
you think fluid seeped through? You think there was like
I don't want to think about that.
I'm not doing your parents' voices in my head. Nope. Definitely cut that out.
Do you think water beds are going to have a renaissance?
No, I hope not.
No, I don't think they are. Guys, I had to just get quiet for a few minutes because I had hiccups. And Aaron, I think you tried this remedy, didn't you?
Yes, I was about to back. Go ahead, tell it. I'll back you up.
100%. So I got hiccups and I read this remedy online. It sounded so stupid. You stick out your tongue, like fully stick it out, and you grab your tongue, like with both hands, and you pull on it like two or three times, and your hiccups go away.
It's not a joke at all. In fact, literally yesterday, I went to dinner with a buddy before a party we were going to. And
partying on Thursday nights?
Don't worry about that. I didn't know what day of the week it was till you ratted me out, Narc.
You're almost 40, bud.
Anyways. I got the hiccups. We had a beer at dinner and I got the hiccups like a little baby. So I told him, I was like, I hate the hiccups. And then Eureka, light bulb over my head. I was like, hey, my buddy Cade. And I start telling him as I put my finger into my mouth and grab my tongue, I start telling him, hey, Cade. And he's laughing at me really hard. And so I do the thing that you say, pulling my tongue three times and they're gone right away. But I got tears in my eyes because I'm laughing at him, laughing at me. And I'm like, all right, shut up. This is real. I never get rid of the hiccups that fast. I was going to say, I hate them.
Aaron, you're a notorious hiccupper. Like, yeah. I've seen nights with, like, you, it ruined your night.
Well, yeah.
Like, if you got hiccups at, like, 9 p.m. in college, you would have hiccups the rest of the night. You wouldn't be able to drink anything else because you're just hiccuping nonstop. We'd play drinking games. We're like, hey, Aaron, you want to get in on this? You're like, nah, bro, I got hiccups.
I used to get them, like, rarely, but when I got them, they would just last forever. And I couldn't do anything. I would hold my breath. I would chug water. I would do both. It just, they stayed.
Yank on your tongue a few times.
Apparently. Now I know. That is real.
It's crazy.
It's like a magic trick.
Wonder what else you can yank on to stop hiccups. Your ears, Aaron. Your ears. What are you thinking?
I think I'm about to go try to get some hiccups.
Guys, I think that we've exhausted everything we could talk about with the Negroni and everything related to it.
You know what, though? On that note, Cade, I think we've exhausted what we can talk about. But there is just so much more to talk about because it's so versatile. I love the Negroni. This was a fun one.
We'll probably do a Negroni too. If I had to imagine.
That's true. I'm not done with this drink.
Whatever service you're listening to us on, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, as well as Overcast, Pocket Cast, multiple other casting and podcast sites.
Drop us a line on Instagram. Hi Dads, HIII_DADZ.
Yep. And send us pics of your cocktails. If you're let us know what are the things you might want to add to them, from balsamic vinegar, coffee, other types of vermouth or things like that. And we'd love to hear about it.
Dude, if we start getting tagged in Instagram posts with all kinds of different Negroni riffs, like, I will try every single one of them. That would be awesome. Sure. That would be a great side effect of this podcast. Like,
give us an idea for our next episode, for sure.
Yeah. Drinks with our listeners. That'd be fun.
That segment for sure. Just a random drink at the end. I like it.
Yeah.
Hey, can we just talk about how Aaron did a great job and made some really fancy looking business cards? They have a QR code on our Instagram on one side, and they have a QR code for our podcast on the other side. And if you are ever at an establishment and you see a random QR code that says Hi Dads on it, don't be afraid. You can scan that.
Please scan it.
All over Biloxi. Oh my gosh. At so many places. We just leave them everywhere. Sean tried to
I got busted.
Because their menu was a QR code. The bartender was like, you're going to confuse our patrons. Don't do that.
She was so mad. Really, she was a trooper about it. You know what? That was at Fly Llama Brewery.
It was a great brewery.
The beers there were delicious. And there were some things that weren't on tap that they had in their beer cooler. So I bought a hazy double IPA and a sour ale to bring home, and they were both very good.
I picked up a tank top for my wife.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. She loves it. But yeah, you got busted so bad there. She was like,
yeah, she was not happy with me.
Your stupid QR code next to our menu, you idiot.
And you were thinking? Like, she looked at both of us and she goes, what is this? And you didn't skip a beat. You answered right away. You go, I don't know what that is. Sean, did you put that there? And I tried to play it cool. Like, you caught me so off guard with that, like, throwing me under the bus. I was like, oh. I just go, oh, how did that get there? How did that get there, like, right next to your QR code? Oh, my goodness.
Let me clear that up for you.
Said, yeah, that's what I said. I was like, let me take that for you. And then I said it, like, I set it down on the chair and left it on the bar stool.
Gosh, I love that. I think we should share that photo because Ben snapped a picture at that exact moment.
There's a guy, like, two seats down, and the look on his face. He's so concerned. He's like, what did these guys do?
What are they
doing? What? Well, who are these hooligans?
What have they done? They're causing trouble at this brewery.
He's like, how dare they upset her?
I loved it. So anyway, thank you for joining us. We hope you learned something. Actually, I don't care if you learned anything or not. I hope you enjoyed it. Aaron,
I hope y'all had several Negronis while listening to this.
Oh yeah. If you didn't, you're doing the podcast wrong. Let's be real.
You should have figured out how to make that.
You know what? British people are awesome.
You didn't have to sound so sarcastic when you said it.
Well, I am. That is the most sincere I get.
I don't know if that was sincere or not.
Are awesome. Listen to me when I say this. British people are awesome.
I feel like you didn't have to say it. Like, and the fact that you said it, like, makes it sound like we don't think that.
Well, I think all of your impersonations of British people make it seem like you don't think that, Sean.
We're just doing Sean damage control, right?
Look. Those impersonations are from love, all right? They come from a place of deep respect. I'm just not good at showing my emotions, all right?
Fair enough.
So, with that, let's go play some Rocket League. I love you guys. I love you, Cade. I love you, Aaron.
I love you, England! Good night!